Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Take your New Testaments and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26. And as you're turning there, today is Palm Sunday. And so today begins Holy Week, the last week in the life of Christ. And it was a packed week. There was something going on every single day. I have this timeline I want to show you. So let's look briefly at each day of the week of Holy Week. So we have Palm Sunday, where Jesus enters Jerusalem and is welcomed by the crowds waving the palm branches. We go down to day two, Holy Monday. Jesus does that strange thing of cursing the fruitless fig tree. He enters the temple and clears out the corrupt money changers. Holy Tuesday, Jesus evades ambush and gives the Olivet Discourse, which was one of his longest sermons. Wednesday, we call Spy Wednesday. Jesus and the disciples rest in Bethany, but Judas goes and does his thing, which we'll look at here in just a moment, and agrees to betray Jesus. Maundy Thursday, where Jesus is betrayed by Judas and arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, also the Last Supper with his disciples, where he washes their feet. Good Friday, Jesus is put on trial a couple of times, crucified, taken down from the cross, and placed in the tomb. Saturday we call Black Saturday or Silent Saturday, where Jesus' body lay in the tomb. The disciples are confused, bewildered. They're not quite sure what to do, for Jesus had been killed. And then, of course, next Sunday we will celebrate the resurrection, where there are multiple eyewitnesses of Jesus having been resurrected, and of course the discovery of the empty tomb and the proclamation by the women that Jesus has risen. This is Holy Week, and so it's a very significant time in our lives as Christians and in the life of the church. And if you stay for the church meeting following the service, I'm going to give you some information as to how you can pray and fast with me during Holy Week, if you are so inclined to do so. Matthew chapter 26. I want to begin at verse 14. This episode happened sometime between Spy Wednesday and Maundy Thursday, probably later in the day of Wednesday. Of course, we're not quite sure, but it happened sometime in the middle, the late middle part of the week. And this is what we read of what happens here with Judas. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 14. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. I want to stop here for a moment, because this piece of information that we read here in the Gospels is not incidental. 30 pieces of silver, prophesied in Zechariah chapter 11, where he says, "So they paid me 30 pieces of silver." I wonder if when Judas was receiving those silver coins, he wasn't a dummy. He knew the Hebrew scriptures. I wonder if his mind went back to Zechariah, and if it began to dawn on him what he was doing and the severity of what he was doing. I want to ask you this question. How many silver coins does it take to betray your Savior? One? Five? 300? I want you to count with me as we lay out 30 silver coins and try to put ourselves in the shoes of Judas. as to what was going through his mind as they were counting out these coins in his hand. Count with me. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. How many silver coins does it take to betray your Savior? Judas gathered up those silver coins, put them in his pocket or his pouch. And in verse 16 we read, "From then on Judas watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over." On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to go eat?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" And so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." And Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." Now go down to verse 47 of Matthew 26. Matthew 26, 47. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. Now turn with me to Matthew 27, beginning at verse 3. Matthew 27, beginning at verse 3. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. Verse 5. So Judas took those coins and he went into the temple and he threw the money. In the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Let us pray. Fathers, we begin Holy Week. This is a very difficult passage to even think that one of the disciples would do such a thing for Jesus. And for what? For what? Even Judas himself said, for what? Why did I do this? And so, Lord, help us as we begin Holy Week with the spirit of reverence and humility for all that Christ had to endure on behalf of humanity. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I spent some time this week and I made a list of some of the three most difficult three-word sentences anyone could ever speak. This is what I came up with. I am sorry. Three difficult words. I don't know why it's hard for a lot of people to say, but it's hard for people to say. I am sorry. Here's another one. I was wrong. You know people who never admit that they were wrong? I was wrong. Here's another one that's very difficult. Please forgive me. Here's another one. I need help. Why is it so hard for many people to admit they need help? Here's another one. I feel lost. As a guy, I will never admit that I get lost. Amen. It's a hard three-word sentence to say. I am struggling. Difficult sentence for many people to say. It's hard for people to say, I hurt you. I messed up. I take responsibility. I was selfish. I was immature. And the last two go together. They're my favorites. Here's your money, and I owe you. I'm still waiting to hear those words from some people. Here's another very difficult three-word sentence that's impossible for a lot of people to say. And here it is. I am Judas. I am Judas. How can that be? I'm nothing like Judas. We just read about Judas. I would never do anything like what he just did. How can this be? I would never sell Jesus out. I would never stab Jesus in the back the way Judas did. I would never betray Jesus. And I want to say, oh, not so fast. Because that's exactly what Peter said. Remember what Peter said here in Matthew 26, beginning at verse 31? Then Jesus told them, this very night, you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I will never do so. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, he said, on this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter was even more adamant and he said, even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. So I want to say, not so fast. One of the things about the disciples prior to the resurrection of Jesus is that each of the 12 disciples mirror our sinfulness and our brokenness and our inadequacies. That's a whole different sermon series, but let me give you a summary of how each of the 12 disciples mirror us today. Simon the Zealot, he was a zealot who wanted revolutionary to overtake the Romans, and so sometimes we too have misplaced zeal. Thaddeus or Jude, he was the one who asked why Jesus reveals himself to some and not others, and so he too reflects our confusion and our misunderstanding. James, son of Alphaeus, very little is recorded about him in the scriptures, and so sometimes we too can become obscure and even passive. Matthew, he was the former tax collector who was aligned with Rome, and so sometimes we see in ourselves compromise and worldliness. Thomas, you remember doubting Thomas, who refused to believe until he had the evidence, and so sometimes we too have doubt and conditional faith. Bartholomew or Nathaniel, he was the one who asked, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And so sometimes we see in ourselves too prejudice and skepticism. Philip struggled to understand Jesus' power when he said, show us the Father. And so we too have limited vision. Andrew was the one who he would bring people to faith in Jesus, but he kind of often stayed in the background. And so we too, like Andrew, sometimes have a quiet faith mixed with hesitation. And John, he was the disciple who said, I'm the disciple who Jesus loved, you know? And so sometimes we too have this sense of superiority and self-importance and exclusivity. And then there's his brother James. He, along with his brother, sought ambition and position and power with Jesus. And so sometimes we too see in ourselves ambition and pride. And then, of course, Peter, who was bold and devoted until he took his eyes off of Jesus and then denied Jesus 3 times. And so sometimes we too see in ourselves impulsiveness and fear. And then we come to good old Judas. Judas. The one who betrayed Jesus because of misplaced desire. And if we stop to think about it, we too have misplaced desires and ambitions. Our own selfish ambitions, our own misplaced desires, our own mixed up priorities, our own vain pursuits. We have to admit on this journey with the Lord that we either have or are currently or someday will plan on betraying Jesus. 3 of the hardest words we will ever have to say or admit or come to terms with, I am Judas. You ask, how? How am I like Judas? And I want to say, turn to Matthew 26, beginning at verse 14, because the answer is right here in the scriptures. Maybe you caught it. Maybe you didn't. Let me read Matthew 26, verses 14 and 15 again. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what are you willing to give me? Did you catch it? What are you willing to give me? What are you going to do for me? What do I get out of this? It's me, me, me. It's a self-centered life. What are you going to do for me? But here's the thing. When you live a self-serving life, not only do you betray your own calling and purpose in life, but you betray the Christ who created and called you to serve Him by serving others. There's a great irony in this passage here. There's a tremendous irony in this passage here. Jesus is getting ready to lay down his very life, his everything, his all, and Judas is asking, what's in it for me? Such great irony. I am Judas. And when that light bulb goes on in our head, if we're going to truly follow Jesus, then we have a choice to make. Do I continue upon the self-destructive path that Judas was on? Or do I begin to make a change? I am struck by the story and testimony of Bill McCartney. You may remember Bill McCartney. He was the coach of the Colorado Buffaloes college football team. And then he started that incredible movement called Promise Keepers. How many guys went to a Promise Keepers movement? I know I did. It was an incredible movement back in the day. And they're still around. But back then, stadiums all over the country, even here in Eugene, were packed with men who wanted to be sold out for Christ. And it was an incredible move of God. Bill McCartney was the guy at the top, and he was the right guy to head it up, and God used him, and it was an incredible move of God. But at some point, God began to speak to his heart. He had been neglecting his family. And his wife, Lindy, had gotten sick. And God spoke to Bill's heart, and he said, you're going to have to give this up. Heading up Promise Keepers. Even though your ambitions are good and great things are happening, you're going to have to lay that down to serve your family and especially your wife. And he did. He gave all that up because his priorities were becoming misaligned. And he knew he needed to do the right thing. I'm struck by that testimony, and I think about that often. How even with good intentions, our priorities can be misaligned. Judas had bad intentions, and clearly his priorities were screwed up. Judas was in it for me. What are you going to do for me? Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that song, Take My Life, as you have every Sunday in Lent. And we're going to sing it again. I just want to read the lyrics to you, because not only is it a song, my hope is that it is our prayer. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour, at thy feet its treasures store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. It's a great hymn, it's a great prayer, and my prayer is that this prayer will not leave you and not leave us. But what I did this morning, because I am Judas, I'm a recovering Judas. And if I'm not careful, I have Judas propensity in me. What I did is I took those lyrics and I put myself in Judas's shoes and I rewrote those lyrics. This is what Judas would have sang so many years ago. And unfortunately, this is what too many people still sing today. The rewrite of that song goes like this. In the words of Bon Jovi, it's my life. It's now or never. It's all about me, for I am clever. I go with the flow in endless pleasure. I go with the flow in endless pleasure. These are my hands. I'll hold on to my things. My feet. I get to go wherever life brings. Swift and beautiful for me. Swift and beautiful for me. It's my voice, I'll say whatever I want. It's about me and what I flaunt. It's my mouth, and you'd better listen to me. It's my mouth, and you'd better listen to me. It's my money, and I can't get enough. I'm not giving it away because I need more stuff. My mind's closed off, so don't convince me. I'm going on a spending spree. I'm going on a spending spree. No one tells me what to do. It's my life and I do what I choose. My heart wants what my heart wants. I sit on the throne and me alone. I sit on the throne and me alone. In the end, I love no one but me. In the end, all I see is me. It's my life. It's now or never. It's all about me and what I endeavor. It's all about me and what I endeavor. As our worship team comes and leads us in that closing song, and as God is speaking to you about what you need to lay down in your life in order to fully follow Jesus, I'm going to count out these 30 coins again. And as I count out these 30 coins in silence, ask the Lord what you need to give up in your life to more fully follow Jesus. Because we've all sold him out, one way or the other. What do you need to give up as we follow him?
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.